Hi there, podcast lover. If you have a dark sense of humor and like your true crime stories paired with a glass of wine, then you need to check out our true crime comedy podcast, Wine and Crime, hosted by two Minnesotan childhood besties, me, Amanda.
And me, Lucy. Each week we dive into a bizarre true crime topic, pair that topic with a wine, and get into all the dirty details.
Wine and Crime is dark, fun, feminist, and perfect for satisfying your morbid curiosities with a healthy dose of humor. Join us as we chug wine, chat true crime, and unleash our worst Minnesotan accents.
Check us out at wineandcrimepodcast.com and listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump with your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
You just found the most downloaded fitness, health, and entertainment podcast. This is Mind Pump. Today's episode, we're going to teach you how to get jacked and ripped. Just follow the next five steps in order. You have to follow them in order for them to work. Now, this episode is brought to you by a sponsor, 8Sleep. This is the world's most advanced sleep system. It sits on your bed. It monitors and then changes the temperature of your bed based on your sleeping patterns to maximize the quality of your sleep. There's nothing like this on the market. The data on it shows it significantly improves people's sleep quality and how long they sleep. By the way, huge Black Friday promotion. If you go to 8sleep.com/mindpump, use the code mindpump, you'll get $600 off the Pod 4 Ultra when you bundle it with the Sleep Essential. Also, our Black Friday here at Mind Pump has started. All MAPS bundles and all MAPS programs are 60% off. Everything, 60% off. And by the way, when you sign up, you get entries to win a free vacation at the Mind Pump House in Park City, Utah, 5-day vacation. So not only do you get 60% off, but you get entries to win a free vacation on us. If you're interested, go to mapsfitnessproducts.com and then use the code Black Friday for the discount and the entries for the vacation. All right, here comes the show. If you want to get built, sculpted, and lean, there are five steps you need to take. By the way, they have to be done in order. If you do those five steps out of order, it's not going to work. In fact, most of you do them wrong. Watch this.
You could blow up.
Oh, you put these in order this time.
Well, you know why? Because the order matters. Dude. The order matters because if you do things, which as we go through these, people will hear these and go, oh, I typically start with the fifth one and I start that one first.
It's funny. It gets nuanced when we start talking about how we like put programs together.
Yeah.
And people don't realize, like, you know, based off of experience, we're going to set the priorities in this section and we're going to add these exercises in front of these ones because of what happens as a result of that. And you're going to be fatigued from this. There's a lot of factors.
So let's also define getting jacked and ripped, right? Because when you say it that way, it's like, okay, we want to build a bunch of muscle. And then we also then want to get ripped lean, right? Lean. So that's kind of like the thought process.
So build muscle and get lean.
Right.
And even if you don't want to build muscle and you just want to get lean, this is important because this process will
still apply.
Still applies, yeah. Still minimizes any muscle loss because inevitably when you try to lose body fat, the challenge isn't necessarily the fat loss, but rather how do I prevent myself from losing muscle? How do I prevent the metabolic slowdown that that tends to happen, that's almost inevitable unless you follow some of these steps. Because if your metabolism slows down, you hit a plateau, and then this becomes almost impossible. And of course, now, yep, consider the data, right? Consider the data on weight loss. People lose weight all the time, but almost everybody gains it back. So why do they gain it back? Is it because the process of losing the weight is so hard that it's impossible to maintain? I would say yes, but not because that's the actual process, but that's the process everybody uses.
So they set yourself up for
the wrong, yeah, they use the wrong methods. If you do it right, it is sustainable. We prove this through the 2 decades we train people. If you do things the right way, there is a sustainable approach. You don't have to become a fitness fanatic. You don't have to work out all the time. You don't have to become obsessed and maintain obsession with fitness or to maintain these things. It's just you have to do them in the right way. And the right way is working with the human body. If you work with the human body, then this is not really a problem. If you fight the body or you don't understand how the body works, which is more accurate, most people have no idea how the body adapts. If you don't understand how the body adapts and you start doing the wrong things, Then you'll make this almost impossible. And the plateaus become inevitable. Metabolism slowdown becomes inevitable.
Right.
And then forget about it. Mm-hmm. So number one, step one, is you want to lift weights, but more specifically, lift weights to get strong. You want to get strong. So think of it this way, right? Anytime I'm trying to lose weight or burn body fat, what I don't want to do is lose muscle. Muscle is very metabolically active. It's what gives me a fast metabolism. Muscle looks good, right? It's shapely. It's also mobile. It contracts and relaxes. It allows me to move. It's very functional. And if I don't send my body the appropriate signal to keep or build that muscle, then my body will get rid of that muscle anytime I try to lose weight. Because anytime you try to lose weight, that typically comes from a reduction in calories, and the body tries to match the new low calories by slowing its metabolism down by losing muscle. So we want to strength train. But the reason why I say to get strong is because if you just lift weights but you don't get stronger, you could still lose muscle. If you're getting stronger, you know you're doing the right things. If you're able to do more weight, more reps, when you go to the gym versus the last time, you know you're moving in the right direction. That's a very, very good sign that you're not going to lose muscle, that you're not losing muscle, that your metabolism isn't slowing down.
This is so important because you're also thinking 3-4 steps ahead too, right? Because of how we titled this, that it's the get jacked and ripped, meaning the inevitable is coming. I'm going to cut calories. I am going to lean out. And I want to put myself in the most metabolically advantageous place before I do that. So, I mean, you could technically try and skip to just getting ripped right away and cutting, but by prioritizing getting strong and building muscle, you set yourself up in the most optimal place to be able to sustain whatever desired outcome this is, which is to get jacked and get ripped.
Right.
And so I think that's important to understand is like somebody else might be going, well, I already feel like I have enough muscle, so I'm cool. I just want to get ripped. So tell me how to just get ripped. Still, this still applies because I want to set you up metabolically before I decide to get you shredded and ripped, because wherever that place is that you land, whatever shredded and ripped looks like for you, obviously you want to be able to maintain that. You don't want it to be a place that in a moment in time you get there, but then it's just unsustainable. One of the ways to make it sustainable is to first build the metabolism and build muscle.
Yeah, so look at it this way, right? So losing body fat will always come from a calorie imbalance, which we'll get to later in this episode, but that's always where it's going to come from. In other words, you have to burn more calories than you take in, or taking less calories than you burn. And your body, what it does is it makes up the difference by burning stored energy, which is body fat. Now, while it's doing this, it also simultaneously tries to reduce your caloric output by slowing your metabolism down. So I'm going to use an analogy just to make this make sense for a lot of people. So imagine you have a budget. You have a budget. You know how much you earn. You know how much you spend. And you have a savings account. Let's think of the savings account as body fat. That's the stored energy your body has. It's a savings account. All of a sudden, you're bringing in way less money than you did before. Now, in order to pay your bills, you have to tap into your savings account. Okay. Now, what are you going to do if this is you and this is happening in 1 month, 2 months, 3 months? If you're smart with your budget, what you're going to do is you're going to look at your budget and you say, okay, we need to spend less money because eventually the savings account is going to run out. And we don't want to tap into our savings account because that's in case the fan. So let's reduce our spending. So then you look at your budget and you say, okay, and you sit down with your spouse or maybe by yourself and you say, all right, what's essential? What's essential? Food, that's essential. So I'm not going to cut food out. I need to eat. Rent, that's essential. I'm not going to cut that out. Oh, here's some money I spend going to the movies. Here's some money I spend on some other things that I can cut out. Let me cut those things out. So that's what your body does. If you're strength training, if you're lifting weights and you're telling your body you need muscle, that becomes an essential expense. Your body won't get rid of it because it needs it. Remember, when you're lifting weights in the gym, your body doesn't know you're in the gym. It just knows that there's a stress being placed upon it. Right. And in order to meet that stress, it needs strength. So when you're taking in less calories and your body's tapping into your savings, body fat, it's looking at your expenditures and going, oh, do we need this muscle? Yeah. yes, we need this muscle. Let's keep it. So it maintains your metabolism. But if you're not using that muscle in a way that promotes strength, by the way, not all forms of exercise do this. Strength training does this. Other forms of exercise, you could pair and bust a bunch of muscle down and still be flexible for yoga. You could pair a bunch of muscle down and still be okay with your distance running or your distance cycling or swimming. But you can't pair muscle down and be strong. This doesn't work that way. So your body's looking at expenses and going, oh, no, we need to keep this metabolism. So let's just keep where it's at. And then your body plays this game of, all right, keep tapping into these fat stores. This is why strength training leads to more fat loss and a leaner physique than not exercising, and definitely better than other forms of exercise. So it's imperative that step one in this process is first, before we cut anything, is I need to tell my body I need this muscle. And then getting stronger is your signal to tell you that you're doing it right. Because if you're strength training and you're not getting stronger, something's missing, which we'll get to. Either you're not eating enough, you're training too much, too little, whatever. But if you're strength training and getting stronger, your body's going to keep your muscle.
Otherwise, it all looks like expendable income.
That's right.
Yeah, you really do have to like prioritize that. Your body responds best to what you teach it as the vital movements, the environment that you establish. So to create that environment where muscle is the top of the tier, and our strength training is the focus. We got to stay strong. That's the biggest signal right away that we can then carry with us. Once we get to a point where, you know, your metabolism is in a healthy place where we can, start shaving the calories down a bit, but you're at such a point at that point where you're a machine, you're ready and you're primed for, actually shedding body fat.
Now, to get a little more granular with this, like, in someone's case, like you, Sal, you've been lifting for a really long time. You're incredibly consistent. Let's say you're getting ready to go on this kick and you're going to follow these steps because you want to get shredded. And so it still applies to you, even at your advanced level. And getting stronger is difficult because you're so strong. What I do, and I'm curious if this is what your guys' strategy is, this is where I love to change a program and go after an exercise that I'm not the strongest at, or I haven't done in a long time.
Because you know you're going to get stronger at it.
Right. And that's really what I'm trying to do, is send a signal to the body of like, hey, this is new, or we haven't done it in a long time. Let's work towards it. Like, for example, I haven't consistently tried to get strong at a movement like Turkish get-ups in a long time, or a windmill. And those are great movements. I love them, but I also haven't done them consistently in a long time. And so let's say I'm going on this pursuit. Here's a good time to maybe introduce a movement in the programming, so that my body has this opportunity to get stronger at something that it's probably adapted and got weaker at because I haven't done a lot. Versus, let's say you consistently follow MAPS Anabolic right now, continuing to just follow MAPS Anabolic and add weight and try and get stronger when you're probably peak strength right now, may not be the best strategy.
No, you want to find strategies to get yourself stronger, at the very least maintain your strength. But some of the strategies include, look, if you're not doing a lot of strength training now, then start strength training.
Yeah, then that's easy,
that's,
right?
Then that's easy. If you've been doing this for a long time, you want to try to maintain your strength, but even better, like Adam said, change the stimulus, change the rep range, you know, do exercises that you're not accustomed to, because you'll get that adaptation that tends to promote strength. Nonetheless, strength is the signal that we're looking for. It's not just the strength training. So sometimes people say, oh, but I lifted weights, so why did I lose muscle? Okay, something was missing there because you did use weights, but you didn't get stronger. So that's the important thing to pay attention to here is, can I get stronger and set my fat loss up in a way that it's going to be as effective as possible? Which takes us to the next point, which is you do a reverse diet. All right, what's a reverse diet? Well, a diet is cutting calories. Reverse diet is adding calories. Mm-hmm. Why am I adding calories? I want to build muscle. My body needs, in order to build muscle as I'm getting stronger, my body needs nutrients. I can send all the plans to build a building, but if it doesn't have the wood and the materials, it's not going to build anything. So what you do while you're lifting weights, while you're strength training, and you're trying to get stronger, is you slowly increase your calories. Now, the way you start with this is you got to find out where your calories are at to begin with. Yeah. So this typically starts out with tracking your normal calories, maybe for a week or two. You just write down, or now they make apps, are super easy, right? You enter everything you eat every single day in an app, and then you'll get your average. You say, okay, I'm averaging 1,500 calories a day, or 1,800 calories a day, or whatever, 2,200 calories a day. This is my average. Here's what I'm gonna do now. I'm going to average 2,300 or 2,400 calories a day, right? Let's say your average is 22. I'm going to bring it up 100 to 200 calories every single day. Make sure you're hitting your target body weight and protein. So whatever body weight you want to end up at, that's the grams of protein you're eating. And you increase those calories slowly. And then you wait with that bump for a week or two, and then you do it again. Now, what should be happening through this process is you either gain no weight at all on the scale, or maybe just a little bit of weight, but you should see yourself getting stronger. And what's probably happening during this process, which is exciting, is you probably are getting a little leaner even while you're doing this, while you're building muscle. But what we're trying to do is we're trying to build up the metabolism for later on down the road when we do the cut. And when we do the cut, now we're going to be in this incredible position because our calories are so high because we worked our metabolism up to that place. So if you're a woman right now and you're listening and you've tracking your calories, you're like, wow, I'm averaging 1400 calories a day. Okay, why can't I just cut my calories from here? Well, where are you going to go? You're going to go down to 1,000, 900? This is why people plateau so hard. Why don't we slowly reverse you, build muscle, get you up to, let's say, 2,200 or 2,300 calories, which is totally, totally possible. It's not only possible, it's probable. I've done it many, many times with people. Slowly work you up to a higher calorie intake or maintenance, build some muscle and some strength, and then cut your calories from there. And it's a beautiful place to be.
I feel like this is one of the most counter messages that we promote all the time. Yeah. And then it's just like an alien concept to your average person. But it's just important that we keep stressing it on this podcast all the time, because to get somebody in a healthy metabolism is that's the goal, to be strong and to really give yourself that sort of that flex, that ability to get to a point where you're eating at such a level where you're like, wow, this is a lot of food. You know, now's the time I can start cutting it down. And then you start bringing it down to a level where it doesn't even interrupt your day-to-day life. You don't really notice like those dips in terms of, because when you're dieting, that's the biggest frustration. When you're in the gym, you're just struggling. You got no energy.
Appetite's so crushed.
Yeah. So, I mean, to set yourself up is everything in this process. And I wish I would have done this more when I was a trainer starting out.
This is my favorite thing to do with a client that comes in. And even if they don't say things like, I want to get ripped and jacked, and they just want to lose 30 pounds or just get leaner in tone, they use words like that. One of my favorite things to do is to have them track and assess where their calories are at. They come back to me and say it's 1400, 1800 calories, whatever, doesn't matter. That's what they eat, and they're unhappy where they're at. They want to lose body fat. They want to drop 30 pounds, and they're eating in that range. Nothing excites me more than to take them through this journey of getting stronger, reverse dieting, and then bringing them back to this, to where what ends up happening is I slowly increase their calories. I take them to a place of 2,400, 2,600, 2,800 calories, and then maintaining weight, not gaining, not losing, but now they're eating 2,800. Then I bring them back down to where they started, right, where they were staying the same, and they just plummet. The weight just comes off. That is like one of the best feelings to be able to give to a client, because after that point, they're 100% bought in. Mm-hmm. They're 100% bought in, and they understand, oh my God, this is why strength training and building muscle is so important, because it gives you that metabolic flexibility. It gives you that ability to kind of have these days where, you eat a little bit out of bounds and you don't feel like you put all that body fat on.
Yeah, the question oftentimes with this is, well, how long do I reverse diet myself, and what does this look like? Well, this can be very individual, okay? Some people respond much quicker to this than other people. So when you do this, you do it in a slow process. You monitor your weight. You're not trying to gain any weight. A few pounds on the scale is not a big deal. That's okay. That's expected. But you want to move up slowly to where you don't see lots of weight fluctuations. And you also want to see yourself getting stronger in the gym. Those two things are the good signs.
Mm-hmm.
My calories are going up. Weight on the scale, not really changing, but I'm stronger in the gym. Very, very good signs. But what does this look like from person to person? Well, in some cases, it could be quite dramatic. I remember I had a client once who was, she was a marathon runner. She trained, she ran a lot. So she would run, 15 to 20 miles a week. She was also lifting a lot of weights. She also had a very low calorie diet. And over the course of, it was like an 8-month process, we got her miles down from 15 to 20 down to 3 a week. So 3 miles. So she ran way less. She was strength training twice a week with me. And I got her calories up by about 900. So 900 above what she was eating before, while doing way less activity, and she was able to maintain a leaner physique through that process. That's one example. Then I have other examples where it takes us a little longer. You know, I've had examples of people where we've had to reverse diet them slowly over time. And I think the reason for that was these were people that had yo-yo dieted so strongly for so many years that their bodies were just a little bit resistant. But most people are somewhere in the middle. Most people, what we're going to do is we're going to slowly reverse diet them. And typically what I'm waiting for is for the person to say something like, "Well, that's a lot of food. I'm eating a lot of food.
Yes.
I feel like I'm eating a lot of food." Once they feel like that, then I know we can cut calories and be in a comfortable
place. That was always a personal goal for me, because I'd get asked the same thing. How long we do this, or what's the calorie going to be like? And I say, hey, listen, let's just keep going and keep getting stronger and keep building that metabolism until it becomes a job or a chore just for you to eat that much, which that signaled me as a coach and a trainer that, okay, my client is now eating more or feels like they're eating more than they've ever ate in their life, more than they even like. Now we're in a great place to go back to the other place, because I want them to land somewhere comfortable. I want them to land somewhere where it's like they're satisfied, they're eating a few times a day just like they like, they're enjoying their meals, their portions are decent, they don't feel like they're eating barely anything. And so that was always the goal, was can I keep pushing them to get to a place where they finally give me the feedback of, oh my God, Adam, that's too much food. I can't eat anymore. Great. We're in a perfect place now. Now it's like, and literally one of the easiest things to do is take that person who feels like they're working so hard to hit the calorie goals that you give them, to now just, okay, eat when you're hungry, make good choices, and watch for the calories fall. And then typically it falls in this nice little deficit that takes them down.
Now, some takeaway points with the first two, right? So we said lift weights to get strong. If you need a workout program, I would say our MAPS anabolic program is probably the most appropriate for most people for this particular goal. That's about 2 days a week to 3 days a week of strength training. Then with the reverse diet, you find out your average, bump your calories by about 100 to 150 or 200 per week. Do it slowly. If your body weight jumps, then you want to just stay where you're at for a week or two and then try again. Slowly move it up until you're at the point where you're feeling like you're eating a lot of food.
Yeah.
If you're getting stronger and your weight is stabilized on the scale, you are doing the right thing. Everything's moving beautifully, and we're getting set up for a nice, sustainable, awesome fat loss. Yeah. Now, step three is to walk daily after meals. Now, this is not, we're not doing this to add cardio. Okay, that's happening later. This is because walking after meals is one of the most effective, aside from strength training, it's one of the most effective ways to maintain insulin sensitivity, okay? Insulin sensitivity is something you really want, because that maintains muscle. It ensures fat loss. It's good for metabolic health. It helps with your blood sugars, ups and downs. It's good for your behaviors. And in my experience, a 10-minute walk after breakfast, lunch, and dinner is better for overall fat loss than a one-hour walk done on its own without being before breakfast or after breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And a lot of our doctor friends that we've had on the show, these are experts in the field, will tell us, like, if people just walk for like 8 to 10 minutes after
there's
meals.
So many benefits we keep learning about from just that one little thing.
It's a hormonal benefit. That's why we're doing this. It's going to prime our hormones, in particular insulin, which is a very important hormone for fat gain and fat loss. It is priming our bodies to be sensitive to insulin. Now think of it this way, like your muscles are like sponges. And when you walk, you're contracting, relaxing them. And what's happening after you eat is you're getting sugar in your blood, right, from the food that you ate, and your muscles are sucking it up by walking. Literally, it's the best analogy I can give. And it does incredible things for blood sugar levels. And it's very easy to do. It's a very easy way to add activity, but you're adding it in a very effective way.
That movement, you know, creates that movement inside too. So the whole digestive tract, the whole process just functions more appropriately. And so, for me, it's just been a game changer in terms of like anything interrupting sleep, especially for dinner. If I'm like, you know, if I can get that walk in, and it just helps everything to move and track and be effective with that.
Who are we talking to or listening to that made the comment that if everybody just hit 10,000 steps a day, we would solve like 80% of the chronic
it was obesity. Be like no diabetes.
Dr. Seed said if everybody walked 10 minutes after breakfast, lunch, and dinner, it would cure diabetes for most people. And then you're quoting a study that showed that 8,000 steps a day will give you about 80% of all the benefits.
That's what it
of
was. Walking. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's what. That's wild. Yeah. Right? When you think about
most
that.
Of it's in the 8,000 steps. Yeah. Which most people can accomplish. If most people walk 10 minutes after breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and, you know, tried to stay relatively active during the day, like they weren't just laying down all day long, they would hit close to 8,000 steps and they would get all of those benefits.
Wild.
Yeah. So this is really easy. And what this does is it makes the like I said, if it improves insulin sensitivity, it's priming your body to build muscle better and burn body fat better. So this is not, and again, I want to be clear, this is not about the calories burned. Don't worry about, we're going to talk about that later. This has nothing to do with the extra calories that you're burning.
No.
It's actually optimizing your hormones and your metabolic health in a way to where your body will want to be leaner. So it's way more effective than counting the calories. In other words, again, I'll make this case again. Yeah. 10 minutes after breakfast, lunch, and dinner,
an intense walk,
is better than an hour done separately at a different time, even though it's double the time.
It's also it's really tough to measure all the other positive things that potentially happen too, right? So many times if you're going for a walk, you're probably walking outside somewhere. Mm-hmm. So you're getting out in fresh air and sunlight. I know personally myself, when I hit like 10,000 steps versus a day where we're in here sedentary for 3,000 steps or less, that my sleep is different.
Yep.
So there's a lot of these other things that we can't just isolate and go like, and that all those have an impact on your hormones, on your metabolism, and your success of this journey. And so it isn't as simple and as cut as dry as like, oh yeah, you walking 30 minutes out of the day is going to burn all this body fat. It's just overall health. It's a good habit and behavior to help anybody out. And that's the idea, is that not only do we help the people get there, get ripped and jacked, but then that it's sustainable. This is one of the ways they're going to be able to sustain that.
Okay, next, now step number four, once you've gotten your calories to a place where you're like, oh, I'm eating a lot, I'm getting stronger, I feel good, I'm consistent with my walks. This may take 2 months for you, 3 months for you, a month for you, maybe longer, whatever. Once you're at this place, then it's time to cut calories. Now you look at your caloric intake and you go, okay, I'm eating 2,700 calories a day. Now it's time for me to go on the cut, and I'm going to go below that because that's my maintenance now. My maintenance is 2,700. Now if I go below that, I'm going to start burning body fat. So the question is always, how many calories should I cut? I like to tell people around 500 to 700 below what their new maintenance is. So if I'm 2,700 calories, 2,200 calories or 2,000 calories is a good place to start. And what you'll see there is a nice, steady, pure fat loss. So wherever you're at, cut the calories by about 500 to 700 below that, and then you're good. And you'll see some nice fat loss.
Yeah, I feel like typically my women, I would shoot for like 500. My men, I would shoot for like 700. So that's kind of the range that I would go. But that's normally a good spot. And here's the thing to be careful of, right? Because sometimes you tell someone to do that and they want to see this initial huge swing on the scale. But a lot of times you might not see a major move in the scale. If you're doing a really good job of hitting protein, continuing to strength train through this whole process, getting most of your activity through walking, and now just cutting some calories, many times we will just lose body fat and hang on, if we're lucky, to muscle. You might hit that sweet spot. So don't allow the scale to dictate whether you're having success in that cut. If you're cutting 500 or 700 calories, you don't necessarily need to see scale weight go all the way down. If you were maintaining your weight and maintaining,
you could very well be building muscle.
That's right. You could very well be doing that. And sometimes that can be, people can overcorrect when they do that. They cut the calories, and because they don't see this major movement or shift on the scale, they all of a sudden freak out and think they need to cut even harder, or they start picking up all kinds of cardio. And it's like, stay the course, trust the process, stick in it. This is where I think body fat testing becomes super valuable, is so that you can just test, stay the course, trust the process, test again in 2 to 4 weeks, and then you realize that, like, even if the scale hasn't moved, you may have leaned out and actually maintained or built a little muscle.
That's right. And then the question is, do I keep cutting my calories as I go through this process? If you did the first steps properly, you don't have to keep cutting calories that much. Most people can lose most of the body fat they want just by maintaining that 700, you know, calorie deficit or so, as long as they're maintaining the strength in the gym. Now, if you start to see strength drop, then that might be a problem. By the way, you could always reverse back out. In other words, if you cut your calories, you burn some body fat and you plateau, and you're like, I don't want to keep cutting my calories, it's getting a little low now, do another reverse diet. Like, there's no rule that says you can't reverse diet a bunch of times in and out. In fact, this is how I like to get people leaner, while maintaining as much muscle as possible, is I would cut them and then reverse, and then cut them and then reverse, and you peel that body fat down and maintain and oftentimes build muscle. Yeah. Now, the last step, this is where you add the additional cardiovascular activity. And this is more for health and or to get that extra 10% of body weight or body fat off the scale. And this can be pretty much anything. I like to stick to forms of cardiovascular activity that don't require lots of skill. So a lot of people who don't run suddenly decide running is the best form of cardio. Running is a relatively high skill form of cardio, and injuries are quite high on this. So I used to have my clients, unless they were already runners and they already ran well, I would have them do things like stationary bike or elliptical. Far less skill required, but allows them
low to burn. Impact versions.
Yeah, it allows them to burn calories.
So I'm a little more specific when it comes to addressing cardio in the pursuit of getting jacked. And to me, it's the final 2 to 4 weeks of whatever I like to peak. And the reason why I do that is because unless this is a client that is telling me that they want to introduce cardio and may keep it in their life forever, if I'm using cardio to get them to this peak physique or whatever that they're trying to attempt to achieve, then I only want to use it as like the nitrous for the final 2 to 4 weeks of, like you said, the last 10%. Right? Because what I still want is that if and when they hit that point, they go off to their trip, they have their wedding, they do whatever it was that was motivating them to get to this shredded and jacked, that if they simply fell off the cardio, they wouldn't all of a sudden balloon up and go all the way back. It's like, okay, so if that cardio fell off, yeah, you might put a percent or two back on, but you're still going to be able to maintain a healthy, fit, strong physique. I want to really use that, the cardio, for the final last 2 to 4 weeks. And really what it looks like is 30 minutes to an hour, you know, every other day inside the gym is normally enough to get somebody who's followed the steps to, like,
yeah, three days a week is what I would have my clients do, about 30 minutes.
That's it. 30 minutes to an hour tops. And then what it might look like is, for me, when I'm doing 4 weeks, is 30 minutes for like the first 2 weeks. And then the last 2 weeks is maybe an hour for those 3 days. And that should be enough to really keep them heading down that, like, leaning out to get shredded.
Got some questions here.
Okay.
The first one is, does cardio hurt muscle building?
You know, what's interesting about this is, you know, okay, so here's the deal. Cardio is another stress on the body that is now requiring resources for recovery and recuperation that could be taken away from the adaptation process of strength training. Now, that being said, cardio also improves your health, right? And you need a certain form of cardiovascular health or fitness to do certain strength training exercises. In some cases, cardio can help muscle building, but in most cases, it hurts. When I say in most cases, is oftentimes people overdo the cardio, and cardio is not sending a signal to the body that says, keep muscle. In fact, cardio sends a signal to the body that says, get rid of muscle, because what we need is stamina, and we also need efficiency with calories. And so what you see in the studies of calorie restriction is, when it's combined with cardio, it results in a lot of muscle loss. Your body doesn't need a lot of muscle for endurance. It needs it for strength. So in many cases it does. But again, if you're like, you can't perform a set of barbell squats for 10 reps because you have no cardio fitness and you're just out, you're gassed out, or it's hard for you to do a set of curls, like, you might need to do some cardio to improve your endurance to help you strength for anymore. So it's not as cut and dry as, yes, it hurts.
It's nuanced. There's points of it that obviously make strength training potentially better. But what you find is, if you think about this for a second, if you're only strength training 3 to 4 hours total in the week, and you're doing 3 days a week or more of hour long cardio, you're sending a louder signal, endurance signal than you are a strength training signal. And in that case, it is not advantageous for you to keep muscle. It's more likely your body will pare it down. So keep in mind, and this is again why I really want to wait till like the very end of the programming to send that loud of a signal of needing that much endurance, because many times it'll conflict with that. And you'll normally only get pushback from the people that have those types of genetics that can run on the treadmill forever and they don't lose any muscle. There's also that part, right? There's the variance that you're talking about. Then there's also the genetic variance between clients. Like, I remember I had, and this the opposite. I look at a treadmill, muscle falls off. I had an ex that competed, and it didn't matter how much we ran. I mean, she could be running every single day for weeks, and she might only drop 1 pound on the scale, and it would be just a little bit of fat, and no muscle would fall. Yeah. Just has those genetics that she would help hold on to it. So you got to keep that in mind too.
Well, speaking to the anomalies, and I don't really bring this up a lot, but I have had trained athletes that will just do fast twitch kind of cardio, some HIIT sessions, and it more anaerobic. So if you get the more anaerobic you get with your cardio, you know, the better you, like, the chances you are of preserving muscle. So just keep that in mind.
What is the best food for reverse dieting?
You know, so high protein foods, we want to hit our protein targets, but whole foods, whole natural foods is what you want to stick to when you're reverse dieting. And I'll add one more thing, easily digestible whole natural foods. For most people, this looks like white rice. It looks like animal sources of protein, potato, yeah, like things that'll give you the calories that that digest well, that are not, you're don't not, come in not boxes reactive. Or wrappers.
Yeah. So I was going to say high fat meats. So this is, I always found this really easy for me when I was reverse dieting, trying to add calories, allowing myself to have things like ribeyes and tri-tip and these fattier types of meats. And then when I went into a cut, all I had to do was make leaner cut choices. Because also, by the way, I'm still including that I have butter and olive oil when I cook and do other stuff. So all of that would be in there. And then when I would switch over to kind of leaning out, I would simply just make leaner cut choices, still getting fat from meats, but leaner than I would be if I was on the reverse diet. It's an easy way to bump calories, 100 to 300 calories, by simply saying, oh, you know what? I'll allow myself to have more red meat or higher fattier cuts. That's an easy way to bump your calories and also enjoy it while you're doing it.
Will I gain body fat on a reverse diet?
Possibly.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. You know, the goal is to not gain a ton of body fat, but I would expect on a reverse diet, like I'd be okay with a client gaining a little bit of body fat. I'm looking at the scale and saying, okay, if it goes up 3 to 5 pounds, we're okay with that. Not a big deal. If they're starting to gain a lot of weight, well, then what we do is we'll stop the reverse and keep them at wherever they're at for a little while and then attempt it again later.
Yeah, as long as your strength is there and you're still applying. I mean, that's a huge component to that, whether or not you're going to be, you know, gaining body fat versus muscle.
I mean, 20 to 30%. Because at what point? If I'm putting on 50% fat, that's not good. Like, so if I put 10 pounds on the scale,
and
5 came from fat and 5 came from muscle, that was way too much. Yeah. Because at that point too, when I cut, I'm potentially going to lose half the muscle I did. So I worked all that hard to bulk to only be able to keep a couple pounds. So I want to see a ratio that's like a 80-20 split.
I like that.
You know,
like
so if I put 10 pounds on and 8 of it came from muscle and only 2 of fat, that's solid. Yeah. That's really solid. I get 30%, not bad. Could have been a little bit better. I start getting 40, 50%, and that means
But if they're getting stronger, it's going to be like 80-20 or better.
Naturally. True.
Okay, sorry. Can I get leaner while building muscle?
Yes. You know what's funny? Yes, you can. And now it doesn't necessarily mean you lost body fat. If you just built muscle and gained no body fat in terms of pounds whatsoever, you're leaner. You're leaner because your current body fat is now
muscle now.
Yeah, it's now a smaller percentage of your overall body weight. In other words, a 100-pound man with 10 pounds of body fat, that's 10% body fat. A 200-pound man with 10 pounds of body fat is 5% body fat, right? So building muscle without gaining any body fat also simultaneously makes you leaner as a percentage.
You could also technically, okay, lose fat, actual fat pounds, and build muscle.
Yes, harder though.
And I just explained this in the series that I'm doing on YouTube, and that is like when you zoom out 30 days, so you're never building muscle and burning fat at the same exact moment. But in the context of a 30-day program, if I do a really good job of trying to hit caloric maintenance to a slight surplus or so, which means what probably happens is there's moments in time in those 30 days when you're actually running a little bit out of a deficit, your body taps into fat to propel it through and fuel it. And then there's other times when you're in a surplus, and because you're doing a good job of strength training, those additional calories go to building muscle, which this is the Goldilocks zone. This is when you're in the beautiful spot of hovering around a good calorie intake that sometimes the body is in enough of a surplus to actually build some muscle, and sometimes it's in enough and a little bit of a deficit that it actually burns body fat. You're not literally catabolic and anabolic in the same moment. You have moments in time in 30 days. And to me, that is always a sign of being in the most beautiful spot calorie choice-wise, right? If you're in a spot where you built muscle and lost body fat in 30 days, that's a really good sign of you're making good like calorie food choices, because you're kind of dipping in and out of both sides.
That's it right there. Look, if you like our show, come find us on Instagram. Justin is at Mind Pump Justin. I'm at Mind Pump DeStefano. Adam is at Mind Pump Adam.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com.
The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic. 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.